Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Happy New Year to you all. It's been a very difficult festive period for Motherwell. There's been a departure in the managerial sense as well, with Stephen Robinson leaving the club after over 4 years in charge. And tonight I'm joined by Scott and Andy to go over everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks. Guys, happy New Year to you both and thanks for joining me tonight.
So are you, Andy? Thanks.
And to you, no probs.
Well, there's so much to cover over the next hour or so. Pepe, I will start with yourself. Following last Wednesday's 2-0 defeat to Kilmarnock, the following morning, Stephen Robinson would depart the football club. There was talk of a great deal of a fight behind the scenes to try and keep the manager in his post. And there was a belief from those in the higher up positions at the football club that he could turn it around. Ultimately, Stephen Robinson didn't feel that was the case. He looked pretty crestfallen following what was probably, up until that point, the worst performance of the season so far. There was, of course, worse to come a couple of days later. Now, I think it's important that we remember how many good times Stephen Robinson gave us as a manager. He came in following Mark McGee's spell where we looked down and out. To be perfectly honest, if you remember back, Mark McGee sacked after a 5-1 home defeat against Dundee. Prior to that, we'd lost 7-2 at Pittodrie. Stephen Robinson managed to galvanise the squad, steer us clear of even the relegation playoff. We've gone to achieve 2 cup finals in his first full season in charge. Then following that, another pretty decent season where the team introduced some young blood in the likes of David Turnbull, Jake Hasty, and they turned the season around, challenged for the top six. And then last season, achieving a best of the rest finish in qualification for the Europa League. Of course, this season didn't go to plan whatsoever. I think many will point to the recruitment over the summer and it not being good enough. And as a consequence, the team really have struggled. That being said, the mood was one of, I think, despondency when the news was broken that Stephen Robinson had departed Fir Park. Many who were on the fence, I would say, following the Kilmarnock game, they then had come firmly off the fence and decided that Stephen Robinson's time was up. Though I think maybe when the news broke and in the cold light of day, the feeling was one of disappointment. A manager that served us so well had a record that stands up against any of his predecessors in the role. So, how did you feel on Thursday? Pugmanay were in the midst of a tier 4 lockdown. The team are struggling on the park. And then a manager who achieved a fair degree of success had left as well 2 days before a derby fixture at Hamilton.
I was really, really, really surprised that he went so quick. I think I have been quite critical of the performances, but I don't think at any point in a recent podcast have I said I want him out the door, because there's always that worry of who's going to come in and fill his shoes. I think you make a valid point. He looked a completely different guy in that post-match interview. He looked as if he was fed up. He just looked as if he didn't have any answers. The only thing that I thought that made me even more surprised was he was kind of talking about new players coming in and stuff like that a couple of weeks previous, where he'd said that there was maybe close to one being over the line. So for me, I was shocked, and I think there is a lot of fans that have been saying, look, like, his time's up, he needs to go now. When you reflect on it and you think, right, we're now in a relegation battle, there's no other way of looking at it. Even if we get the 6 points, we're still in a terrible situation, and it's going to take a big turnaround in fortunes in the way that we're playing, and who do we get? So I think a lot of fans have now reflected on that and thought, maybe we've been better just sticking with them until the end of the season. Part of me thinks that, as Robbo just thought, you know what, I'm going to leave whilst I've still got a good reputation. Maybe the Northern Ireland job will come up again, because I think Barraclough will be there too long. Maybe get a job down south that will come up, because he has been touted for quite big jobs in the Championship and below, right enough, albeit. So maybe he's thought, well, I've done enough here and that's it. He's done it at the right time. Was it just getting a bit stale? I don't know. But I was really, really surprised. I didn't see it coming at all. I thought this has really been his first kind of real negative spell, where we've really looked like we're out of ideas. And that's why I thought he would have maybe wanted to stay and maybe leave in the summer. And then I would have been more willing for Keith Lasley to take the reins after that. But I know we'll probably get into that later on. So I suppose, to sum it up, I was disappointed with him, because he had my full back. Not that my back makes any difference, but I think he had quite a lot of the fans' backing. And you see the reaction that the Well fans, or the Well boys, or whoever it was that put the banner up, he was admired. He has gave us some good times. There's been some shit times as well, so let's not forget about that. But probably more good than there is bad. He always spoke very well, came across well. But I was really disappointed that he went after. But then when you look at it when you look at it in paper, it's the stats don't. I don't like defining football in stats, but the one stat that sticks out is 6 wins in 2020. That's scary. I mean, that is relegation material. So is it the right move? I don't know. It will be if we stay up. I really just hope that whoever's making the decisions make the correct decision, and we'll just need to. It's not as if we can even influence it, because we'll be sitting in our living rooms watching it by the sounds of things.
Andy, it's no surprise that football fans acted in a fickle manner, but you only had to go 12 hours, 14 hours between the full-time whistle against Kilmarnock to Stephen Robinson leaving his post. And the positivity and the almost a kind of, I wouldn't go as far as saying mourning process began, but it was, my old fans seemed very, very disappointed. But when the news broke, the blame suddenly shifted onto the players and their performances, when only the evening before, the knives were out for the manager. And I don't know whether it was maybe a situation where the supporters didn't really believe that the manager would fall on his own sword and depart his post. It didn't really make much sense. It took me possibly until midday and New Year's Day to even kind of comprehend what had happened over the previous 36 hours. It was quite a confusing time, possibly one of the most confusing times I've ever had as a Motherwell supporter, because I personally didn't really know how I felt either. Even after Kilmarnock on the Wednesday, I wasn't in the position where I felt like he had to go. I still would have given him my backing to turn it around. I've seen him do it a few times before, so that's why I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. And as Pepe mentioned earlier on, not that his backing had anything, or his say had any scope to influence things, but I think more of the rational, and I'm trying not to to be too dismissive of the supporters that were completely giving up on him following the Kelly game. But I think it's important to remember that these games, since they've been played behind closed doors, it's given people opportunities to make snap judgments, to go all in after a poor performance. And similarly, to also overreact to a good performance. I think that certain players have benefited from having a few good games and now developed reputations as being far better than they are. And I think the same works the other way as well. When players are struggling, they're completely written off, and that's them no use and should be as far away from Fir Park as possible. So there's a balancing act that comes into play here. And I don't really know what my point is. I think that now I actually start to talk about it again, I realise that maybe I've not actually processed it all in my own head. But what my question is to you, though, did it feel like a snap judgment? Were you surprised at the kind of reaction of the fans to the news, considering how volatile it had been only 12 hours beforehand?
I think it kind of depends on the circles in which you kind of follow the club, in all honesty. As someone who's a moderator in Steelman Online, the kind of Robinson outposts have been as far back as December 2018, where you were barely 6 months after a cup final, a second cup final in the space of and a season. And there were, people would have been happy to see him go because we didn't push on after that season. So it's someone who's kind of seen a drip and tap of negativity through some posters on there, then his departure didn't really come as a massive surprise, considering the discussions that had been going on. I think it was always going to be a case of if he did leave, then it was going to be his decision, because, like you say, and going way back to the kind of the start of the kind of discussion here, that the board were keen to retain his services, and I think he had a good relationship with the board, and they were happy. And as I continually made the point, whenever his detractors were posting, he was delivering everything that had been asked of him. And I think Jim McMahon actually said as much in the kind of press release following his departure. He kept the club in the division, which was always the primary aim. Going way back to whenever he started his time as caretaker and then got the job on a permanent basis, that was always going to be the case. The primary concern, everything else was always a kind of bonus on top of that. He's delivered the player sales that were requested of him. And while you can debate whether he was forced, whether he did it through choice, he did introduce a number of youngsters that subsequently went on and earned the club a lot of money. So he's kind of ticked all the boxes that the board were asking him to do. And certainly I appreciate there was an element of frustration about the recruitment being patchy across his tenure. And there seemed to be an absolutely, hate the term, about a Motherwell roller coaster, but his time with us did have those kind of peaks and troughs. It was all up and down, sugar or shite, famine or feast, whatever we want to term it. And there's no doubt that we were in a really pretty stinking run throughout the kind of calendar year. Again, you can kind of look into that to a certain extent and look at who we played during those fixtures. You know, I think you've got like two or three times where you've played Hibs, who are sort of top three or four. You had a couple of times as well where we've played kind of Rangers, and we've had two or three goes with Celtic and stuff in there and amongst those fixtures. And I think like Kilmarnock, if I remember rightly, like Kilmarnock, that's the first time we played them since, would it have been like just December last year. So some of the teams that you've had in there, you maybe had more difficult teams than you've had sort of less difficult teams, but that doesn't take away from the fact that it's been a pretty stinking 2020, and there was a feeling that something had to change. But I think the feeling was it was going to be the squad that was going to change rather than the manager. The timing of it is not good at all, given that it is only a matter of days where he was talking about there seemed to be kind of hope that two or three players were quite close to being ready to commit to joining us after the new year. There seem to be hints that some of those that were underperforming were going to be kind of moved on. I've seen that in the past. Maybe guys like Alex Fisher, who didn't really cut the mustard, was quite quickly moved on. Players of that kind of ilk. So there was a kind of feeling that things were going to change, and the hope was going to that we would get the kind of bounce that we got. I mean, he was never ever going to have his Tenerife kind of training camp. He was never ever going to have a David Turnbull sitting in the wings, ready to come into a team and transform it. But I still think there was enough confidence in him, or I certainly had enough confidence in him, that with the changes he would have made, hopefully that would have been enough to stabilise things, keep us up, and then look at things again properly in the summer. Perhaps then there might have been the case then, given what had transpired this season, that the board, in conjunction with Robinson, would have looked at the playing budget. Could we have looked to improve the kind of funds that he had available to him? I don't know. But that's a lot in the air now. And unfortunately, we're on a terrible run of form. We've got some pretty horrible fixtures coming up and an underperforming squad. So it's a kind of difficult situation. And you feel for Lasley to a great degree that, you know, he comes in and he's basically got a day and a half to try and kind of lift the team. And there was absolutely no reaction at all. Everybody looks for it whenever a manager leaves, a kind of a new broom coming in, you know, anticipation that if you've not been part of plans, that, you know, you can come into things, the opportunity to kind of put things in the past and, you know, try and perform and show what you can do to any prospective manager that's coming in. There was absolutely nothing of that on Saturday. It was piss, piss, poor stuff. So it's a worrying situation, and it's a difficult situation that the board now find themselves with that performance on Saturday. And again, we might go back and look over at the games as well, but they're at a point now whereby the urgency of getting a permanent manager in place has been ramped up by Saturday, in my view. But by the same token, they want to get the right person in, and you don't want to just get somebody in so you've got somebody in for the sake of it. You want to, if it does take that bit longer to get the correct person in, then they need to do that. But there is this kind of feeling that things are just going to, you know, drag along, and we know evidence that things are going to improve. So it's tough times.
Scott, the part or the role in Stephen Robinson's demise of the players definitely is one that needs to be discussed. The fact that we're going to face a derby to start 2021, a massive game, which could have massive consequences on whether the team actually managed to stay in the Premiership this season, and to go and produce such a half-arsed performance, it was pathetic at times, that there was nobody in Claret and Amber whatsoever that deserved pass marks on Saturday. The energy levels were well below what they should have been. And talk is cheap. So often we hear in the press that the players know how much the fans care about the football club, and they feel the same. They know that they have to turn things around. And time again, in recent weeks, they've done exactly the opposite when they've crossed the white line to go into that park. With the exception of the Dundee United game and Boxing Day, we've not put in one good performance during this bad run. So it's not even as if we're knocking on the door and we really should have had more victories or more draws from this run. Very few fixtures during this run of bad form could you say anything other than the other team deserved to win. And I think that's very telling. With some more than winnable games during this spell, Kilmarnock came to Fir Park in Stephen Robinson's last game without a win. I think it was 7 of 8. They were really looking as if Alex Dyer could be the next manager to be sacked. I would say we were well in front of Stephen Robinson in that race. But instead, we opened the door for them. We didn't start the game particularly badly, but we lose a goal just before half-time. And then as soon as that ball hits the net, you can see the air coming out. There's no spark. There's no nous in how to get back into the game. In the second half, a bit of naivety from Mark O'Hara leads to a penalty. He
he's sent off as well, just to add to the woes. Penalty goes in, 2-0, and it's game over. And again, we didn't do anything to suggest that even if we had got one goal back, that we would have got another one. It's been really, really poor. And yes, the signings in the summer, as I've already mentioned here, weren't good enough. But that doesn't excuse the lack of, or what appears to be a lack of effort in the part of some players. They're not stepping up and they're not reacting to these bad defeats. It's all well and good going to the press and telling them that you're going to do this and that. But see, if you don't do it, then you just look stupid and you're just letting us down time and time again. And that's what this group are doing.
I mean, I'll quickly go back to the Aki's game. I thought the only player that looked, I don't like to use the phrase interested, but it only looked as if he was going to make a difference was Tony Watt. But in saying that, we so often found out of position because he was the only one that was wanting to make anything happen. He was running back. At one point, he was back in the left-back position. Now, if that's your main focus for scoring, we're never going to score. So for him, he's the only one over this spell that I would give a 6 or a 7 out of 10. The rest, I agree. Whether or not, I don't like saying players don't try or anything like that, because I think that's harsh. And I think that, is it confidence? I don't know. I mean, one of the most notable players that doesn't seem to get much criticism is Alan Campbell. Now, Alan Campbell gives 100%. I don't think anybody can deny that. But Alan Campbell likes man run after Beavis McGabby's latest fresh air shot. But at the same time, Campbell is running toward the ball. The Kilmarnock game, I've said this before and I'm now repeating myself because there's nothing else that you can say, but every game that I've watched this season, generally within 5 or 10 minutes, it's absolutely dire. There's never been a time where you've been excited or anything like that at all. And the difficult thing is, usually we can come on here and say, oh, I would have changed this and changed that and done this and done that. And some of the time at the start of the game, I'm being quite happy. I was quite happy that against Aki's, Lasley moved Grimshaw into the centre of the park. I was quite happy that Carroll was at left back. Obviously, wasn't happy that McGabby was playing. Where do you start with Aaron Chapman? I mean, that's a totally different argument altogether. I don't like getting personal, but the way that I would describe him is, see when you played football at school and the worst players went in goals, that's what he was like. He was trying to save that first shot with his legs. I just don't understand what professional keeper does that. I mean, he actually makes himself smaller, and that's what's infuriating. And I've already said enough about Beavis McGabby. Every single game he's played, in my opinion, he's cost us something. Whether it be a penalty, whether it be a sending off, whether it be gifting a goal. So for me, that's not good enough. You get into the middle of the park, this isn't the time where you need Liam Polworth in the team. I'm sorry, right? He gets all these stats for hitting. You're going to get a lot of assists if you hit every corner, every free kick. But for me, he shucks away for a battle, and that's what we're in at the moment. You go up front, I've said Tony Watt, Devante Cole, both you and I, Andy, have said that we couldn't understand why he wasn't getting game time. Maybe now that he's getting game time, we can see it. He's just not looked interested. And again, I've said I don't want a lack of effort, but sometimes with guys like Devante Cole, is it because he thinks he's better than Motherwell, and this is just another easy 6 months to get some wages? I don't know. So I kind of went back to front. The other player that it was better because he wasn't playing was Jake Carroll. But on Saturday, in the first kind of 10 minutes, when Lee Hodgson burst through and Hotman Chapman actually miraculously saved something,
it's him that gives the ball away. It's him that's out of position. So he can't go blameless either. The whole team just were errors. Now, whether that's the devoid of confidence, I don't know, but something needs to change. And as Andy alluded to earlier, I do feel really sorry for Keith Lasley. It's almost like the Rangers and Ali McCoist, the kind of club hero that becomes a manager and doesn't quite do it. Now, I'm not saying that Keith Lasley will not do it, and I really hope that one day he comes back and he'd be a great manager for Motherwell. But is this the time? Is it right for Keith? Is it maybe time that a fresh voice comes in? And does Keith stay as number two? I don't know. I think that's another big decision for the decision makers. But you were mentioning his signings.
Aston McGinley, for me, he's not been great, but he's not been any worse than what McGabby has been. O'Hara has been decent. Callum Lang's away. Chris Long, Devante Cole. I mean, I don't know where we stop. As you say, it just doesn't. I've actually read some comments saying that it's the worst Motherwell team that they've seen in 10, 15, 20 years. And I can't really argue with that at the moment. And that's a real worry. I don't know how quickly we change it. I think one thing that we need to look at that I would take up what Andy had said was we can't really take our time. We need to take our time with it. The only issue that I have with that is that we're currently in the January transfer window, and there's never been a time where we need fresh blood more than we need it now. And who makes the decisions? Is it Keith Lasley? If it's Keith Lasley, then he needs to get the job until the end of the season, and we just need to take the consequences, or you need to get the new man in the next couple of days, because before you know it, we're rooted to the bottom of that league.
Andy, a bit of discussion on the runners and riders for the post. Pepe discussed some of the merits of Keith Lasley, or reasons for Keith Lasley not getting the job, and perhaps reasons for him getting the job as well. Today, Graeme Alexander installed as a bookies' favourite. There's been talk of an approach for former St Johnstone manager Tommy Wright. Then after that, it's the usual names, isn't it? It's often said, and watching the recent Hearts documentary in the BBC as well, mentioned that a lot of managers that come out of left field apply for the job and maybe aren't the right fit at the right time. Morris Ross will be another one from within the football club that I would imagine would have eyes on the job, perhaps even applying and Keith remaining as his assistant. I really don't know. But in terms of the immediate term, how important is it that we get someone in and in the position ASAP? The transfer window has opened again. Stephen Robinson alluded to the fact he thought that we needed a great deal of new blood into the squad. We clearly need to ship players out as well. So the new man needs time to do that.
Yep. I'm just really kind of repeating what I said earlier. It's a bit of a double-edged sword in some respects, is that, you know, you kind of, you get somebody in, you maybe be a bit more hasty, and it might work in the short term, but, you know, you may find further down the line. I mean, to a certain extent, you could argue the same was it Barraclough's first game? It was like before Christmas, the week before Christmas, and he was gone by the following September, and that included a massive kind of overhaul of the squad, both in January and then the same again in the summer, and the repercussions of that were still being felt whenever we were paying off all the kind of the money for that transfer that kind of came, or those transfers that kind of came about as part of Les's agreement. So it's difficult. You know, I appreciate the desire. We all want somebody in place, but as soon as possible. But we want the right person in place, and it's really just you're in the dark in many respects because you don't know. I mean, we're speculating here, as was the case like many years ago, where I think there was a succession plan mooted by John Boyle for Scott Leach eventually to kind of take over, and sort of part of the kind of deal for Mark McGee coming in, was he was happy to go with Leach as his assistant. And, you know, that kind of thing happens where you've got, you know, somebody that's there that's so inextricably linked to the club. So, I mean, as the people that they're talking to, are they prepared to go with that? If indeed that is a factor, are they going to demand that they get their own staff in? I don't really know how it's going to pan out. I mean, a lot of the kind of stuff in the kind of background, the kind of positions tended to stay the same as in the past. There's, you know, they still want the director of football, head of recruitment in place. You're still going to want to have your people doing the, you know, the kind of the youth setup, the academy and stuff like that. So, you know, as a kind of an incoming manager, going to be prepared to work around those kind of plans that the club have got, maybe set in stone, or the things that can be negotiated. So we're really just in the dark. But definitely everybody's keen to get the new manager in place. But I would rather it took an extra week, 2 weeks, whatever the case was, and that we get the right person for. It's certainly not just the immediate. Now to the end of the season, of course that's the priority because we have to ensure that we stay up, but we really don't want to be in this situation again if it doesn't work out and we have we do manage to stay up and we have a disastrous start to next season, and then you're going through the process again, and by that point you could potentially have missed a window for that manager to get, you know, his set of players that he wants to bring in. So it's difficult, but you know, they certainly haven't been left an easy task, that's for sure.
Let's talk a wee bit about Naki's game in a little bit more depth. Pevy's already had a fair degree of a say on it. And it was a nightmare from start to finish, really, wasn't it? I had a half chance for Tony Watt in the early stages, and then after falling behind in comical circumstances, it just became an utter nightmare.
If Hamilton were half decent, they could have quite easily replicated that 5-0 for a couple of seasons ago if they really wanted to. It was that kind of, we were so lackluster, offered very little, no threat there whatsoever, and our kind of soft underbelly, which has been evident all season, was just there to see. You know, there was kind of, when it doesn't really matter. I mean, Lasley could have been preparing that team for a day, or he could have prepared it for a month. If you've got a goalkeeper still going to chuck chances like that in the net, if you're going to have defenders that are given opportunities like that to opposition strikers, then, you know, it doesn't matter how long you prepare, what tactics you employ. If you're going to give gifts like that to the opposition, you're never going to do anything. But it's just so frustrating. You're looking for that reaction after the kind of the changes, you know, a demonstration of commitment, and it's just so lackluster. Just so many occasions this season where we've not started disastrously. You know, we've certainly looked at a measure of the opposition in quite a number of games, even if we've not been at our best by any manner of means. But it just seems we go for so long, we don't take the half chances that do come our way. We eventually concede and we've got absolutely nothing. There's been no route to recovery, and it's just a case of kind of playing out time and how bad the damage is going to be done. And you know, it was poor stuff.
Scott, a concern of mine is that half an hour after the game, instead of being raging and wanting to take out and everybody else and argue with folk and throw the toys at the pram, I was sitting on the couch watching Catchphrase, quite the thing. And this is where I've got a real problem with myself. I just don't have that passion, and I don't care as much as I feel I should do at this moment in time. Football without fans has left me feeling somewhat flat. I feel a bit disconnected from everything just now. That's just kind of a general life assessment there, but in terms of the football, I don't get as delighted about a good result, and I certainly don't get as downbeat after a negative result, and that was certainly the case on Saturday. In fact, more so to the fact I was actually working during the game and then as I say, after the game, I enjoyed a very good episode of Catchphrase, Celebrity One. But that shouldn't be how a supporter feels. And the more you read online, I don't feel like I'm the only one that is feeling a wee bit disengaged and falling away from it a wee bit. I know that when circumstances return to normal, and let's hope that's days not in the too distant future, that want and that desire will most likely return. But let's face it, anyone that's shelled out for a season ticket this season is watching the games on a stream, is having to pay additional for away games on a stream. This isn't going to be having them bending over backwards to plough more money into the football club to renew again next season. Yeah, there's a part of it as being a supporter and continuing to invest in the football club to ensure that the doors stay open. But at what point do people maybe consider that there's better things to be doing with their time? I think that this is a really pivotal stage for the football club in terms of reigniting that spark. There's nothing they can do about no fans being allowed in. But certainly what's going on just now, and even just wee stupid things, I've seen quite a lot of folk arguing amongst themselves in terms of supporters. There's supporters that are pretty stupid in the way that they've reacted and singled out individuals for personal criticism in Twitter. But then you see the likes of Declan Gallagher, he's arguing with supporters online. It just all feels a wee bit, again, I'm going to use hostile. It's kind of, it feels like relationships are breaking down all over the place. And it's just not very good to see.
I completely get what you're saying. You do feel a wee bit detached from it. However, for me, on Saturday, it completely ruined my... I didn't think it could feel much worse than I did become manic. I don't think I said a word the rest of the night. I think actually my wife had said to me, if this is how football is going to affect you, you're as well jacking it. So I was absolutely rage. I couldn't believe that what I was watching. So for me, I was probably the opposite for you. I just couldn't fathom what was going on. I mean, an example that in the opposite, often mention my wee boy, he's football daft, absolutely loves Mullerow, can tell you everything. But he went away upstairs in the 10 minutes into the second half and was on the PlayStation. So if that's an example of somebody who I would class as fanatical at that age, you know, you're like when you're 9 years age, you absolutely love it. But he couldn't be bothered with it. Do you know what I mean? It was like I'm sitting forcing him to watch an episode of EastEnders. He just had no interest because he could tell that there was no coming back. But he's not got that anger what I've got, and that's exactly what I had. I mean, I don't think, barring Aberdeen, even the Livingston game wasn't great. The Aberdeen game this season, look at the European games, we weren't great in any of them. So, for me, when you look at it, and the money that I'm spending to sit in a living room, and now that's no... We all know that there's ways and means to get the games. You can go into a stream or whatever. So that's out there for it's another option for people. And you're right. I mean, this is why this appointment is right. And it's going to pain me to say this, that if you'd said to me 3 weeks ago, would you want Tommy Wright to be the Mullerow manager? I would have laughed at you and said, you're off your head. But for me, at the moment, the most important thing, as I said a couple of weeks ago, if we get relegated this year, this could be an absolute disaster. And the most important thing is that we remain in this league by whatever way. And if that's playing the most negative football that there is to get results, then so be it. But I think I would probably take Tommy Wright, and hopefully Keith would be his right-hand man at the moment. If we go down this season, we don't know what it's going to be like in 6 months. Money's reduced for any Sky deal. You're in the Championship. You're not in the teams like Dundee United, who Hearts, Hibs, Rangers that have went down that would be able to have a year where they, or a year or two on some occasions whereby they've got benefactors willing to come in and bail them out. I really think it could be a case of us
been down and been down there for a wee while. So I think it's so vital. And I think the most viable option at the moment is to go and get Tommy Wright. So I'm the complete opposite. I do feel detached from it. I do feel that it's easy to get up when you're sitting in the house and go in and make a coffee or go on your phone, make a phone call, run up, do other things to distract you. But for me, I'm still having just now with the performance. And I don't know. My concern is I don't know how it's going to get any better anytime soon. It's a really difficult transfer window, but when you've not got your full-time manager, what player's going to come to a club that doesn't know who the manager is? I do agree with what Andy's saying. I do understand what he's saying. But the managers that we're talking about, Tommy Wright, Keith, there's probably, as you say, somebody that we've not even mentioned. I had said to you guys on the chat we're in, somebody like Danny Cowley. But what we've got to do is we've got to look at it and say it's no worthwhile taking a gamble. And that's why I'm saying Tommy Wright at the moment. I hate myself for saying it, but I just think he's a safe pair of hands. The likes of Graham Alexander, I've said right up until before I've come on here, and I've changed my mind since I've come on, because for some reason Gary Caldwell's flashed in at my mind, and I'm just looking at Patrick Thistle. So I just think we need a safe pair of hands, and I think maybe having that freshness will maybe bring back that interest. Maybe what you're saying, Andy, about you, well, no question your TV choices, but sitting not being too, I think Robinson's been at the club a long time, and so has Keith, right? So I think the club's maybe just get a wee bit stale, and maybe getting that different voice, that different motivation, different ideas, different character, or maybe just brighten up the whole place. I'm not saying Tommy Wright's going to brighten up, because he's maybe not the most charismatic, but maybe that wee change is maybe what we all need. And for me, I'm again a wee bit different from Andy. I want that to happen sooner rather than later.
It's such a difficult one, Andy, in the sense of, in regards to Keith Lasley as well, isn't it? Because he's a guy that's given so much to the football club, absolute certainty to be inducted into the club's Hall of Fame. And he's been an assistant manager to Stephen Robinson during some pretty good times as well. You could tell from the tone of his interview following the match on Saturday, he was just absolutely devastated. He felt properly let down. He clearly cares so much for Motherwell Football Club. And you can't give someone the job on the basis of sentiment, but it's got to be established as well that manager like Jurgen Klopp or Pep Guardiola, I don't think they could have got a performance out of that team on Saturday. And then there was a wee bit of a to and fro that I had on Twitter with someone that came back and said, well, he also wouldn't have picked player X or player Y. But that doesn't make any difference as well, because Keith Lasley had a squad of players they inherited from the previous manager. He had 2 days to prepare for a game. I just feel that those that are willing to completely write off Keith Lasley on the basis of the performance on Saturday can't then turn around and lambast the players for their lack of effort under the previous manager and also in the Lanarkshire Derby on Saturday. You can't kind of have it both ways.
I think it's always difficult for somebody that's left whenever a kind of manager goes, because if he does get it, he's going to be immediately accused of being the cheap option, and he's always going to carry that about. And in some respects, Robinson carried that on his shoulders because of the fact he was there previously as Barraclough's assistant, and he was there as a coach under the last kind of weeks of McGee as well. So they're always going to have that levied on. There's always going to be that kind of doubt that he's got it, you know, in merit, and it's simply just been done to save the club money. So I don't know. In an ideal world, he is the kind of character that you would want to take over. Someone with the association that he has for the club over the number of decades, who genuinely has the club's best interest at heart. and we know he's going to give 100% for them and put in all the hours that he can do to make the club the best it can be. But I'm kind of fearful in these kind of situations that, you know, your kind of last memory, if it doesn't work out, is that club legend is third. So I'm kind of in two minds whether I want him to get it or not. I don't know whether he's qualified to do it, in all honesty. I remember being genuinely surprised when he was unveiled as Robinson's assistant. I think when we were, after we'd sort of secured our survival that season, and he was an unused substitute in the bench, and I don't think he came on that day. I think it was Faddy came on, and we did our kind of farewells, and it just seemed that was him. He was kind of going, albeit I think he might have triggered a contract renewal, to be fair, at that point as well. But it just seemed to be, and then out of the blue, he's announced as Robinson's assistant. So I don't really know, with no kind of managerial kind of track record of his own, it's difficult to see how he is. And that's only going to be the people that are behind the scenes and the board will have a feel for that kind of idea as to whether he ticks the boxes for what they're looking for. So I don't know how it goes. I would hope perhaps now with the kind of full week behind them to prepare the team for the trip to Paisley, I very much doubt we're going to see Chapman in goal. I'll be slightly amazed. I think a 70% fit Carson would be risked ahead of Chapman or PJ Morrison. I don't see him being in there. We're going to have one or two bodies back. Granted, Carroll wasn't anything spectacular at all, far from it, at the weekend, but he's going to benefit from that 90 minutes or so that he had under his belt. And he's going to be one that's going to be building up over the course of the weeks. We'll have O'Hara back as well, which is another option. Perhaps a scope for Maguire in there as well. We don't know. We'll see what happens. But I would hope for certainly an improvement on the display that we got at Hamilton whenever we pitch up at Paisley at the weekend.
We spent a lot of time talking about the need to improve the squad. I did make reference to it without going any further. There's clearly a couple of guys that are out of contract. The likes of Stephen O'Donnell, his contract's due to come to an end at the end of the month. You've also got Alan Campbell, who's out of contract at the end of the season. The same goes for Declan Gallagher. These guys are going to attract attention. Whether people believe it's merited or not, the fact that Declan Gallagher performed very well during his first season at the club, was appointed captain in the back of it. I think the vast majority of Motherwell supporters thought this was a very good decision. It's been followed by a difficult season for Declan Gallagher. He started pretty poorly and then seemed to draw a bit of confidence from his performances for Scotland. I think domestically, though, he has struggled. He's not had a settled centre-half partner, and maybe that is added to his problems. Alan Campbell, as Pepe alluded to earlier, has been a bit off the boil. And then you've got O'Donnell, who today was linked with Stoke. I've seen a few references to a potential move to Aberdeen as well. These are three players that are pretty integral to our squad. What do we do then? We've already lost our star player in David Turnbull. There's clearly not much money coming into the football club at this moment in time. It makes dropping out the Betfred Cup look even more significant as well, it must be said, because in turn, it's cost us a potential quarter-final, and St Johnstone then went on to clinch a place in the semi-final, where they'll be going up against Hibs. But you've got the Livingston St Mirren final. And I know loads of people have said, well, look at a forum, we wouldn't have stood a chance in a quarter-final or a semi-final, but if we'd got there and the revenue that could have potentially created, it's all ifs and buts. But at this moment in time, you lose one, maybe two of those guys. You've got to then replace them. Declan Gallagher, if he was under contract, what you'd maybe be looking for, £1.5 million, £2 million, you've then got £1,500 a week to replace that guy with. It's near impossible. And that's where I'm beginning to worry how unattractive a position this might be for potential managers. Why would you go in and ruin or risk your reputation taking on this job? How delighted are Motherwell fans going to be finishing 10th? At this moment in time, I would say they'd be gently satisfied. But then where do you go from there? The landscape of the Scottish game is so, so uncertain just now. There's just so many headaches, so many questions needing to be answered, and needing to be answered quickly so we can prepare for February onwards. St Johnstone, I see, making moves tonight. Livingston have already brought in a new face. Kilmarnock have done the same. We're in danger of getting left behind if we don't do something. If we don't trust Keith to bring in new faces, then what do we do? The head of recruitment, as far as I'm aware, is still at the football club. Are the faces identified prior to Stephen Robinson's departure, are they still guys that we're going to take an interest in? Or does that all get torn up on the basis that there's going to be a new man at the helm?
I still think there'll be interest in our job, regardless of the situation that we currently find ourselves in. There are going to be people who are desperate to, if they're not in football already, or who are with other teams, that will see us as a half-decent proposition. I think taking a step back, our reputation is our stock's pretty high. You've got the fact that you're pretty much debt-free. You've got the proceeds that have been brought in over recent, you know, kind of season or so through transfers and successes on the park. So there's a kind of stability at Fir Park. The kind of reputation that they have is supportive for managers. So I'm no doubts whatsoever that ours will be seen as an attractive proposition. And there's still every chance that we're far from 15 points behind in 12th place, that we can still turn this around. And we don't know who it is, if it's someone different, who their contacts are, what level of involvement they've had in the game, what their knowledge is. That's where you're perhaps your kind of Graham Alexander's maybe in a slightly more difficult position if he's coming in and isn't fully versed with who's there. Whereas if it's someone that has a kind of a more current grasp of what the kind of situation is in Scotland, maybe better situation for kind of taking the helm and for an immediate start. But either way, I've no doubts that this will be an attractive job for a lot of managers at Fir Park. In terms of the recruitment, as I say, like, you've got, as you mentioned yourself, you've got this kind of direct recruitment there. So it was always the case that he's identifying prospects, potential signings. So that list is still going to be there. It's not as if he's new managers coming in and has no data, no information there. This is still all going to be, you know, through the club's scouting capacity and the infrastructure that's there for providing all this kind of detail. That's still all going to be there to be seized upon as well. So, you know, they're not going to be coming in completely blind, but, you know, it's just a case of seeing who gets it and at which stage they are in terms of their knowledge of what our team can do, what contacts and interest they've got out with their knowledge, and then marrying that up with the details that the club already have and taking it from there.
Scott, what about your thoughts on the likes of particular Stephen O'Donnell for today linked with Stoke? Would you expect that we will be looking for another fullback and O'Donnell will depart the club?
I fully expect O'Donnell will be away. I think as football fans, we sometimes we look at it as being as if they're the same as us as fans wanting to play for the club. But I suppose if somebody's going to offer you 5-10 times what you're getting, you're going to take that. And if a couple like Stoke, who are only a couple of years out of the Premier League, are going to come in from, then fine. To be perfectly honest with you,
I don't think Stephen O'Donnell's been absolutely outstanding, that he's irreplaceable. He came with this big reputation. I think he's a decent player. I think he's, as I said a couple of weeks ago, he's a kind of a steady 7 out of 10. He's ball across for Callum Lang's goal at Ibrox, his goal in the European Cup game. But I don't ever remember coming away from a game and thinking to myself, what a player he is. He's absolutely brilliant. Probably the best that I've seen him playing was for Scotland. So if he goes, he goes. I'm not overly bothered about it. There will be other players that will come in. Do we just put Grimshaw back in there? I think Grimshaw has done all right. His positional sense at times is poor. For me, the most important thing is that we get a centre half, and we need three players in my view. All, if Carson's going to be back fit, we need a centre half to partner Gallagher. We need a creative midfielder, and we need somebody to partner Tony Watt up front, because we've not got that. Chris Long might come back in and do that job. But just another quick point on Declan Gallagher. His performances haven't been great, right? But he's playing alongside Beavis McGabby, Ricky Lamy, Mark O'Hara, who's now a centre-half, and he's got Alan Chapman at his back. So he's had a difficult time in this back line, and I'm not sticking up for him. I don't know him. I've never met him, never spoke to him. I just think when you're the captain, you come under some extra criticism, and I think he has come under a wee bit of extra criticism. I've seen some, oh, he's never a captain material, and that's an easy thing to come out and say. But let's look at who he's playing with. And again, I've said I'm not going to get on to McGabby, but he shouldn't be anywhere near that starting lineup on Saturday. If O'Hara's back, then O'Hara should be playing. If O'Donnell's not going to be there, then don't play him. It's easy for me to say that, because he has a decent player. But if he's not going to be there and he's going to go down to Stoke, then thanks for the few months that you gave us, and we'll move on.
Is there any other guys that you would like to see moved out? I know that it wouldn't be your guys' style to do so, but is there guys that think that we need to move on just for the benefit of freeing up a wage? Like, from my own personal opinion, it's pretty clear that Jordan White isn't going to make the grade here. I think guys like McGabby, Chapman already have demonstrated in a few occasions that they're not to the level. It was a surprise that we didn't try him out, or maybe we did try to move Bevis on after a very shaky start to his career at Fir Park. He did have a slight improvement, and I think at one point he nearly won Scott over just a little bit, but the tide has certainly turned. And I think when we look back to that 4-4 game against St Mirren in the Scottish Cup that basically ended Peter Hartley's Motherwell career, he's reached the levels again of performance, Bevis, that just dictates he can't be playing on a regular basis in a team that is fighting to stay up. Kind of looking at around the rest of the squad, I think that there's players that will move on come the end of the season, but you've obviously got to keep a core of a squad. Is there any other names that stand out to either of you guys?
Sam Seedorf. Let's say, I don't think he brings anything. As you say, Jordan White. I still think Chris Long's got something to give. not right away, but for me, Polworth's run his course. I just don't think that he's what a Motherwell type player. He done all right in spells last season. I maybe been a bit harsh and been a bit emotional with the current climate that the club finds itself in, and I'm maybe being a wee bit harsh on him, but I wouldn't be totally deflated if he left. It's really starting again. That's the issue that we have.
I don't mind Polworth, but he's definitely not on a par of what he was doing last season. But I think you need to look back to last season to see what was where he got his best, where he was playing his best. And he obviously done a lot through his assists and
But he had someone that was protecting him alongside him. And the best he's kind of played that I can remember were the games where Barry Maguire has protected the defence and O'Hara has been in central defence. And I kind of think once you get Donnelly back, just being that kind of extra bit of protection in front of the kind of defence that allows him to kind of proceed a wee bit. Because I don't really see that O'Hara is in any way a kind of defensive midfielder. Alan Campbell perhaps done that to a certain extent whenever he came in the team, but he's been used much more offensively, and you know, he's chipping in with the odd goal, and it's kind of involved a good bit further up the park than he perhaps was. So if you're playing three in the middle, then he's pretty much kind of isolated in some respects. Whereas I think Donnelly was helpful for him, and I think he's missed his presence. I think he's kind of speculation is that he kind of took the huff whenever he wasn't involved at the start of the season when Turnbull was put back in, and perhaps there's a bit of petty lip still there if that is indeed the case. But I don't know. But I think he can do better than he's currently shown. That's fairly obvious. But I would still keep him if there was a possibility. It all comes down to who you've got to replace them, though. I mean, we can chuck out these names as we want, ready, A, B, C, D, and E, but it depends on the availability of somebody to come in that's going to be better than them. And the obvious answer to that is, of course, there's going to be people that's going to be better than them, given that their performances this season. But, you know, it does actually remain to be seen who's available, who's willing to make the move to the club, who's going to take the salary that's on offer and take it from there. But just need to see what happens in terms of that. But you're definitely, regardless of whenever the manager's appointed, you're looking for that bit of wheeling and dealing and freshening up of the squad. So you're lifting the kind of the mood of the support as well as the mood of the playing group.
It's a bit strange. I'm just looking at the website. There's a few more names that I think are possibly on the brink just now. Jake Hasty certainly hasn't set the heather alight since returning to the football club. Nathan McGinley, I think, is another one that may be a player that moves on, having really kind of failed to settle at all. At Motherwell, Ricky Lamy, I don't know whether performances the first half of the season mean that we might try and move him on and get in a more accomplished and more settled centre half. The Kilmarnock game was just littered with him and Declan Gallagher trying to try these mad diagonal balls time and time again that went out the park. And anybody watching would have surely been able to see it was like Diagonal Fest 2020. But we didn't seem to kind of catch on to that. Lammy's one that I really was quite upbeat about when he came in, but it's certainly not worked out. The other strange thing that I was going to mention, though, I was looking through the squad list on the site, and Jordan Archer's still on it. Now, as soon as players move, they tend to come straight off our website. The media team are very quick at doing so. It's a bit strange that he's still there, and there hasn't been any reference to the fact that he had departed, despite the fact he's obviously not featured in any of the games, and PJ Morrison returned from his loan spell at Falkirk. But that's quite a curious one.
I think that's a good point, Andy, to be honest. Nothing did get me there, and I would say that see if Carson, PJ Morrison's a young goalkeeper, and I can't judge him at all. So for me, Jordan Archer, sorry if my two daughters are having a square go in the background. For me, Jordan Archer, didn't
he? More fight than our team on Saturday, I'll bet.
Aye, there is. Over iPads, right enough. but the thing for me is, see if he's going to be out injured. Would it have been better leaving PJ Morrison where he was and playing and getting Jordan Archer in for the rest of the season? I said that a couple of weeks ago. My concern was that we were going to be left with Chapman. My other concern is with that is that how do we know that
or you can never know, but Trevor Carson seems to be made of chocolate now. So there is a concern for me that this injury, he comes back too quick again, goes out injured, and then we've got Chapman in goals again. So that is a very, very kind of crucial bit. I've not even mentioned, I've said obviously to keep it. I'm presuming that Carson's going to come back, but we need to be thinking about his injuries.
Yeah, it looks pretty worrying when he went down against Kelly, and obviously we'd got it to continue for another 5 or 10 minutes before being subbed off. But with his injury record, it was a concerning moment. So hopefully, personally for him, it must have been such a concerning moment as soon as he felt his knee go. He's had such a terrible run of things since basically what the end of 2018. So he's been battling injuries for the best part of 2 years now. It'd be devastating to see a goalkeeper as good as Trevor Carson ruled out long term again. So I guess the overriding sentiment is one of wishing him all the best personally, that hopefully he can fight these injuries and be back as a regular between the sticks for Motherwell. But I'm sure he'll be considering his own well-being more than that just now. And the fact that if these injuries keep on reoccurring, it puts a real question mark over not just his time at Motherwell, but his career. So, yeah, there's yet again, he's back to this position where he's having to deal with the consequences of what appears to be a significant injury. The fact that PJ was called back suggested to me that it was a case that he would be out longer term than we hoped. Then the situation's almost expedited, isn't it, when Aaron Chapman forgets to use his arms for 90 minutes, and that leaves you in a bit of a crisis in terms of goalkeepers. You put a young goalkeeper in, it's sink or swim, but goalkeepers aren't in a position that they can make mistakes. You bring in a young striker and he misses a good chance, there might be someone that can bail him out later on. If a shot comes in from 20 yards and trickles through your hands, it's going to be remembered, especially if it happens in your debut. So, yeah, it's a difficult one, and I would prefer not having PJ Morrison as a number one choice. I didn't actually think that Archer was anywhere near as bad as some people made out. But I just, and again, I go back to the kind of negativity. I think that that's just the overriding emotion just now. I think that maybe that's a societal thing as well, that people are just a wee bit lethargic. It will only be heightened by the fact that we're now past the Christmas period and people are back to work. The team are still struggling in the park. We're, 3 or 4 hours away from full lockdown. There's so much going on in the world that the football doesn't really matter, but then turns it around to making it matter more, because it is maybe that one thing that people look forward to in their week, settling down to follow the team. And when they're not doing well, it's a perfect storm, really.
But it's just one of these things, isn't it, that we're...
Football was meant to be the... We're all dying for it to come back, and now it's back, you're like, oh, God. But I will admit, the day when all the things changed, I was praying that they didn't take it away again. So, must still be some joy left in it, and hopefully things turn around, and the next time that we're talking, it's a miraculous recovery rather than the negative outlook. But, Andy, seeing as though you're the one that always gives the questions, I think maybe we'll turn the tables a wee bit and ask who you want as a manager.
I'm glad you asked me a question I don't know the answer to. Personally, I don't know. I would like to see a fresh face. Tommy Wright doesn't appeal to me, and I don't know why that is. I feel that Tommy Wright's time at St Johnstone, though, had run its course by the time he left. I think they were, despite the fact they were quite a successful club during his time, they were very successful during his time. They did begin to stagnate. It almost kind of
replicates how things felt at the end of Stephen Robinson's tenure, albeit when St Johnstone were bottom, I think they hadn't won in their first 11 or 12 games last season and managed to turn it around to finish in the top six. But I think things had began to drop off somewhat. The recruitment was never that exciting. It was just, I just don't think that he's a name or a figure that would really kind of rejuvenate me and give me that spark to get back to the football. Graham Alexander was one that we mentioned earlier on, and he's now the favourite. I was looking at his record at previous clubs, and to be honest, I don't think that would be a terrible shout. The only thing that, and the only drawback, is the lack of experience in Scottish football. Then after that, it's a bit of a mystery, and I do hope that someone comes out up in the outside and catches the eye. I'm sure we'll be doing all we can to make sure that we make the right appointment. I think we did so with Stephen Robinson, but we also gave him a couple of games to see the impact he could make in the team. I think it would be very harsh to judge Keith Lasley on Saturday's game. I think he will get St Mirren Saturday if we get a positive result. I don't know. I'd love to see Keith Lasley first and foremost stay at the football club. There's no room for sentiment apparently in football, but I just really think that he's the right sort of person to have about the football club, and that's such a significant thing. But to answer the question, I don't know. I really don't know who will get it or who I want to. What I do know though is I look at games at St Mirren on Saturday, I look at the trip to Ross County towards the end of the month, and I view them both as must-win games. That's a pretty drastic situation, particularly given I sat here and said that going out of the Cup was such a disappointment because we weren't going to be challenging for the European places and we were very unlikely to be involved in a relegation battle. Somehow, within a month and a half, things turned in their head and here we are. It's going to be very telling what happens in the next week or so, that's for sure.
I think the only thing with Tommy Wright, I think that is quite a negative way of football. And the reason that I just think almost like the West Ham situation where Davy Moyes comes in for worked his magic for 6 months, if you call it magic, and managed to get West Ham out of a terrible situation. I really do. I think Keith Lasley is a great guy. And I think that's partly where my sentiment is, that I don't want him to come in and it to go completely wrong. I just think we need a bit of freshness. And whether we've mentioned Graham Alexander, the only one that I would say would be Danny Cowley, whether I know that this is a big enough job for somebody like him. He nearly got the Sunderland job. He worked wonders with Lincoln. But again, is it somebody that you want a wee bit of backing in Scottish football? Some of the other names you see mentioned in the bookies lists, like Derek Adams, Barry Ferguson, Malky Mackay. It just gives you the absolute...
Billy Davis, he's always on there as well, isn't he?
Well, but I don't know. I've always had a soft spot for Billy Davis. I don't know what it is about Billy Davis. I don't think he'll ever be back at Millerow, but I would be too disappointed with Billy Davis, if I'm perfectly honest with you. But I don't know. We're just left to see how Andy... I'll sit on the fence with.
Well, just before we go, and it's something that we haven't covered, obviously. And by the way, I had to cut my answer short there because my pizza came. But the 6 points that we almost kind of spoke about is a bit of a celebration for the postponed matches against Kilmarnock and St Mirren. That decision's suspended now, so the points are basically floating about in the ether. A decision to be made in the middle of January. And they... It's just a bit of another shit show from the SPFL, to be perfectly honest. The decision made in Boxing Day. So I'm not ever going to believe that there was a meeting held at any point. This decision was clearly reached before that point. But they announced it a couple of hours before we're due to play a match against Dundee United. Suddenly, from being in the top six, we're then only a couple of points off bottom spot. Provisionally, anyway. it seems so pointless to do that. If you're going to make the decision to reverse the 6 points awarded to us for these two games, then make it after the appeal's been heard. Don't make it the decision or the announcement to suspend it and update the league accordingly. It just seems so, so bizarre. The worrying thing, though, for me is there's a lot of games falling foul to cases of COVID within playing squads. Is it going to be the case that a fresh outlook and breaches elsewhere are put into context and we then have to face Kilmarnock at rugby parks at Murn away as well and earn the points on the pitch?
Well, I'll be honest. I had some sympathy whenever I was shocked whenever the kind of points were given to ourselves in Hamilton for the initial announcement. I didn't see that coming at all. And I had sympathy with the teams concerned. But I must admit, I'm fairly cheesed off with the way that it's been handled now. In every sense, we've been the team that's been shafted more than anybody else over this. I mean, it's kind of, they all went on the big pylon with Maurice Ross's comments and kind of tried to deflect when Fitzpatrick was being his usual idiotic self. But we were there. We were ready to play the game. And Paisley, likewise, would have been ready to go down to Kilmarnock. We were in much better form than we were, you know, now. So you've had an extra half a dozen games or something being played since then. The context to which, as you say, with the Dundee United one has been changed, given the fact that you know, you'd 6 points more and then suddenly you'd 6 points less. So we're the ones then that potentially now we've had this messing about further down the line, they're going to attempt to try and squeeze in fixtures, which we don't know what the calendar's going to be like. We don't know what strength our squad's going to be like, but we're not going to be in the position, certainly, you would expect that we were when we were in half-decent kind of form at that stage. So it kind of rankles a wee bit. And that's leaving aside the process of waiting 6 weeks to do the initial announcement, and then however many weeks after it to say there's been an appeal and we're taking it back off, and however many weeks it's to see what the outcome of that appeal is. And I kind of come back to the initial thoughts is that they wouldn't do that in the knowledge that it could upset the title race between Rangers and Celtic. And they certainly wouldn't drag it out this length of time if it involved the two of them in the title race and whether 6 points or 3 points or whatever was going to be included and being fairly decisive, it appears to be at the bottom end of the table just now. So that's a bit of a pain in the arse, to be perfectly honest. So I don't know how that one's going to go. And if we have to replay the games, then fair, so be it. We'll have to do it and we'll have to try and win the games. But it's going to leave a bit of a sour taste the way that we've been messed about through no fault of our own.
Yeah, and it's just yet another addition to what is already going to be a very packed schedule between now and May, and you've still got to factor in the Euros as well. So it's pretty mad, to be perfectly honest. We're just off the back of such a busy December, and it looks for all the world that we're going to have a fair few scheduling headaches. I still can't really believe the decision to play both cup competitions, but following Saturday's second round games, we're back to the traditional Scottish Cup third round draw and the big teams coming into it, so we'll have that to contend with as well. It's just, and the weather changing, and we're sitting here as we're anticipating -3 or -4 tonight, so there's every possibility we're going to lose games to the weather as well. So it could be such a hectic end to the season, and when games are so significant, it's going to be a real challenge. Guys, we've been on for about an hour and 20 minutes now, so I will cut this one here, but thank you very much for your time. It's been interesting. It's going to get even more interesting over the next couple of weeks, and I'm sure we'll reconvene to discuss all the,
the happenings then.
Nice to be able to moan to somebody different for a wee change.
You've been listening to the MSC podcast. We'll be back probably next week, depending on what's going on. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
December arrived like a fire with the wind. Yeah, this year I can hardly believe when all of our plans just slip through our hands like paper boats washed out to sea. Hope the things that went